So what is your plan if things don't work out exactly the way you thought they would? If the plan you have doesn't work out, what's your alternative going to be?
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And welcome to the Thursday edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. I want to thank Jim Calhoun, who filled in yesterday and even helped me with part of the Tuesday radio program. As many of you know, I'm recuperating, and we're coming along. I know there's some challenges ahead in the months and whatever that I've got to deal with this cancer that I have. I'm not out of the race yet. But the truth is, with all the things that are on my plate, I'm going to be needing some help. Not just in maintaining the things that currently are, but to fulfill the call that God has to increase and build a couple of other ministries. So this is one of those times where I've got to put everything in God's hands and in the hands and the prayers of God's people. This radio ministry, this is being a watchman on the wall. We talked about this on Tuesday. Part of what I do with the radio program in particular is to let you know that there's trouble ahead, watching for you to blow the trumpet, to give you advance warning, to be prepared for the things that are going to happen. This is not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And on that, the Bible is clear. The other morning, I was thinking about Psalm 34. Very short psalm, it just takes you about a minute to read through it, look it up, read it. It's an encouragement. It starts out with these words, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Not the praise of politicians, but the praise of the Lord shall be in my mouth. My soul will boast in the Lord, not a politician, not a person. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name forever. Other verses talk about the angel of the Lord encamped around them that fear him and delivereth them. Not a politician, but God. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The problem is too many of us, and I've been as guilty as anybody, we put our hope and our trust in our retirements, our bank accounts, Social Security, you name it, and we keep, and it's a human thing, we all hope that it'll all just stay together a little longer, at least for us. Yet the Bible talks about our deliverance, but it doesn't talk about delivering through politics. Too many people, like I say, they've not learned what St. Paul keeps reminding us over and over again. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. We are told in that psalm to depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, verse 15, and his ears are open unto their cry. And the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. It's going to be God that does all this, not the politicians you elect. I've said this, I said it on Tuesday, I've said it probably 100 times on this radio program. I've been voting over 50 years. We've had victories and we've had many defeats. And I know right now there's this idea that, you know, that we'll fix it here in the United States in 2024. They were saying we're going to get things fixed in many places in 2023. It didn't happen. It didn't happen. The big red wave didn't occur in 2022 either. And there were many defeats in 2018. And of course, 2020, I still believe that there was, well, just say some evil going on in the background, though people don't want to admit it. and they try to hide it and bury it and say it was the most secure election in the history of elections, which I don't believe for one moment. We as Christians in particular need to recognize our hope is not in other people, in institutions, in banks, in government. It's really in God. And too many people that claim to be Christians that occasionally go to church, occasionally dust off a Bible, occasionally give it some thought, are still too much into the world, and they're not thinking about the things of God. They're too busy trying to feather their own nest and build their own retirements. You know, banks are going to fail someday. We know it. Here in the United States, and I don't care where in the world you live, somebody the other day, just to give you a real quick example, was talking about, do you remember how back in the 1970s you could buy a record album, for $3.77, and sometimes on sale for $2.88, and now you go to some record store that still sells vinyl, they want $30 and $40. That's ridiculous. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, if you account for inflation, that $3.77 is like 40 some odd dollars today. That's how much our money has eroded in a little over 50 years. In a half a century, we have lost 90% of the value of our money. And guess what? We're going to continue to lose value of our money over the decades to come. When you are $33 trillion in debt and $260 trillion in unfunded liabilities, where do you think the money's going to come from? They just keep printing more and making yours worth less. I was a young man getting ready to finish high school, and I made a trip one summer to help a vacation Bible school outside of Toronto, Canada, and I flew up from New York City to Toronto. Not a very long flight. And it was right about the time that Richard Nixon took us off the gold standard and everything was just a mess. Funny thing, my grandparents had taken me to a bank and I had traded in some American cash for some Canadian money to have with me so I wouldn't have to worry about exchanging it on the other end. I wasn't carrying a whole lot, but a lot of people were having issues. And back then, when Richard Nixon, if memory serves me correct, took us off the gold standard, gold was $35 an ounce. $35. In 1787, at the beginning of this nation, gold was about $30 an ounce. It varied. It did. The value of gold didn't change much in terms of our money from the beginning of this nation all the way to the Great Depression, Roosevelt confiscating all the gold during the Depression, and then going off the gold standard in 1971. And immediately the price of gold began to go up and up and up as the value of our money went down, down, down. Last week, my wife and I were in a local grocery store. And I'm looking at the cost of a loaf of bread. Not some super fancy name brand, just, you know, the regular stuff. In some parts of the country, it's Wonder Bread. You know what I mean. When I got married in 1975, I can remember many a Friday afternoon. I worked early in the morning, and I got off work about 2 in the afternoon. My wife tended to get off work about 3, and we would do our grocery shopping on a Friday afternoon like a lot of other people did. And bread was like, you know, 3 loaves for a dollar, and sometimes on sale, 4 or 5 loaves of bread for $1. That's a lot of bread for a dollar. Ground beef was not measured in dollars. It was measured in cents. So were steaks and everything else. I shared a story with my wife that when I started out in my broadcast career and I'm working at a little radio station and living in my little efficiency apartment, there was a restaurant literally down the street in the downtown area where I worked that I was at the radio station. I'd get there about 5 a.m. and about 9 o'clock in the morning, I would leave to go get a bite to eat before coming back to take care of late morning and early afternoon stuff. And that little restaurant, I could get 2 eggs any way I wanted them. I could get home fried potatoes and sausage and coffee. And for $1, that would include everything, including the tip, like a 25-cent tip, which doesn't sound like much today, but when you got change back from a dollar and you just basically left the quarter on the table. That was 1974 in a small town in upstate New York. And I'm sure many of you can share a similar story. That same breakfast today in many restaurants that I've been in is like $10 or more, especially for the quality that I was getting. Even a Waffle House is going to set you back $10 for the same thing that I could buy at a Waffle House for a dollar something in 1975 when I first stayed south. Things are not going to get better. Inflation is not going to go backward. The value of your money is not going to be going up. The quality of goods is not going to be getting better because we keep trying to find ways to save money and we export a lot of our industry to China, making things even worse here. Amazing, they could clean up the streets of San Francisco that they claim they couldn't do a thing with. For how long? Because I call him the emperor of China, you know, the godfather of communism, is coming to town. So for him, they clean it up. For the people that live there, nah, not so much. And people think that all we need to do is just vote in the right president, the right prime minister, the right whatever, and things will be fine. In England, your new king, King Charles, a pretty vile character, in my opinion, by the things that he has done and said over the years. England gave us what is called the Anglican Church, and I'm sure that back in its day, and I can tell you that many of the theologians truly meant well, but they're allowing this reprobate to be, quote, the head of their church. I mean, in England, the king is the head of the church. And he's one of those all roads lead to heaven kind of people. Let's celebrate Hinduism. Let's celebrate it all. It really doesn't matter what you believe. Yes, it does, Mr. King. Talking about poverty and equity as you're wearing this billion-dollar crown full of diamonds. No, I don't trust the politicians and the kings and the princes, the prime ministers and the presidents to fix anything. Even those that mean to repair it will have too much opposition. I remind you as loudly as I can, Donald Trump tried to repair things in the United States, and that's why there's 91 charges against him, mostly fake, phony, and fraudulent garbage charges to destroy a man, to try to put him in prison for hundreds of years if they could. If he didn't have the Secret Service, I think that they would have already tried to assassinate him like they assassinated Kennedy and others over the years. The deep staters, those that have sold their souls to Satan, they have no conscience. They're as the Bible says, they are pricked. And so I'm a watchman on the wall telling you, you cannot trust these institutions you thought you could trust. In 50 years, education has gone from teaching to indoctrinating. It has gone from facts to fiction. Teachers trying to encourage little preschoolers to change their gender. Maybe Billy is a homosexual little boy at age 5. We'll figure it out and help them on their path. This is satanic, this is evil, and it's not going to stop. The only thing we can do, in my opinion, is get what victories we can at the local level. Remember, the guy running for school board lives in your town. Learn who these people are and what they really believe. The average person here where I live in Chilhowee, Virginia, has no idea of who the board is. Who's the elected people on the board over education? They couldn't tell you their names. And I don't care if you live in Massillon, Ohio. I don't care if you live in Rochester, New York. I don't care if you live in Anderson, South Carolina. I don't care if you live in Tucson, Arizona. Most people could not tell you who is running the school system. And they go to the polls and they just vote with not knowing. Keep an incumbent. In a few places here in Virginia, the parents got smart and they did a lot of work, a lot of legwork, and got the word out. And some of these school boards changed hands. Now, this is not a permanent fix because evil will come back. It always does. But the pendulum for at least a season can swing. Get whatever victories you can locally and pray for the best and still vote statewide and nationally or provincially or federally in Canada. Whatever the case may be, don't give up voting. Don't give up trying, but don't make that your end-all be-all of your hope. That's what I've been trying to say for a year. Some people still don't get it. I'm the watchman on the wall, like many others. And I'm telling you that instead of trying to just repair the system, plan for an alternate system. There's nothing in the Bible that says that we have to simply live in what it is. We're told we're in this world, not of it. Here in the United States and many parts of the world, you can take over the education of your child. They don't have to be in the public school. It's one of the reasons that I'm one of the ministries that I am going to build as a part of my church. It's not just for the local community here in Southwest Virginia, in the little town of Seven Mile Ford, Marion or Chilhowee, or whatever little community, Adwolf, that are around the school. We're going to become a resource for those that want to educate their children at home. And I plan on bringing in somebody that can do the job, that we can use technology and leverage it. Where parents that don't know where to start, we can start right here. There'll be a website in the not-too-distant future explaining how this will work. Lectures, instruction, chat time. For those that don't have internet, I'm working on a way to circumvent the internet using either a laptop, a Chromebook, or even for those that are limited on funds, even using something as simple as a Raspberry Pi, a little tiny computer, about $70. You can plug it right into a television set. And there on a tiny little drive the size of your thumbnail, literally the size of your thumbnail, could be a whole year's worth of instruction for a child. We need to take back the responsibility of raising children and take it back from the government. I don't trust many governments. I don't trust many school boards. As I mentioned on Tuesday's program, this teacher that uses that believes that every day is a new opportunity to make kids queer, to indoctrinate them into ungodly things, to discuss things like sex and gender. And they don't want the parents to know what they're doing. Like I said, Psalm 34, verse 14, depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The righteous cry, the Lord heareth and deliver them out of their troubles. Not by politics, but he encamps around them. He can heal the broken heart, the contrite spirit. Many of the afflictions of the righteous, the Lord delivereth them out of them, but not by changing the government around them. The church, my friend, is a remnant. The truth of the matter is, most people that call themselves Christians are not. They're cultural Christians here in this nation, and what few are left in Canada, a majority of them are the same way. Or they're in apostate churches that have rejected what the Bible has to say on anything. And they've adopted a humanistic philosophy and try to wed that horrible satanic philosophy in the name of Christ. It's a mockery. And these apostate churches are all around us with their sparkle creeds, their gay weddings, their drag queens at right there in the very front talking to little children. These are not churches. These are synagogues of Satan. And those that are in those churches, supporting those churches, will pay an eternal price. I can't say this any louder. I don't understand why so many can't see this and refuse to see it. Many say, well, you know, my grandparents helped found this church, and my parents were very important people in the church. And yeah, I know it's a little weird today, but it's still my church. No, it's not even a church. A church is the living body of Christ. Once you have spit on the face of Christ, once you have burnt his word up and make a mockery of it, you're no longer the body of Christ. The word church means the living body of Christ, not a building, not a club, not an organization, not a denomination, none of it. And St. Paul is explicit. Get out from among them and do not touch the unclean thing. If your church is wishy-washy on a lot of these issues that the Bible is very firm about, then you're not in the church. You're in nothing but some kind of a civic club that has no real true spiritual underpinning. It's all phony. It's all fraudulent. But Jesus, you know, we gathered here at, you know, St. Martha's Episcopal Church, or whatever it is, and we did all these wonderful things, helping and being kind to the transgenders. You go, I never knew you. Depart from me. Stop trying to fix this world. Well, stop trying to believe you can fix this world, and then we don't need all this. We can do it with politicians. That's going to be your downfall. Being a watchman on the wall, and those that do this kind of work in ministry like I'm doing here on Truth to Ponder, it is a huge responsibility. And I can't do it alone. Oh, I probably could if that's all I was doing, but when God is saying, you got the church, you got this, you got... There could be a Roku channel in the future of teaching this radio program and worship and other things. I mean, the opportunity is there. God has given me a very unique skill set to use for his kingdom. The things that I'm passionate about, the things that I need to emphasize in my work, preaching and some teaching, and being the one to facilitate others that God sends to do the job that God has called them to do to a bigger purpose. We need to get more people in a parallel system of fellow believers, not trying to fix a corrupt and satanically well-possessed system. The globalists are doing Satan's work to kill, destroy, to lie and deceive. We know we need to be more divorced from this world. I remember this old gospel song, "Goodbye, World, Goodbye." My late grandfather, many, many years ago, as he was getting into his 80s and into his 90s, would sit behind a piano and play this old hymn, "I'm but a stranger here, heaven is my home." And too many Christians do not have that philosophy in life. While I am here, while you are here, while we are here, we have a work to do. Work, for the night is coming. Work, because the day's going to come when you can't work no more. Build while you can. Don't delay. You know, a lot of churches, well, we'd like to do evangelism. Well, we'd like to do something to help the community and education. But we just don't have the money, or we just don't have the time. I'm sick and tired of what you can't do. It's not what you can't do, it's what you won't do. I remember visiting a church years ago, looking to call a new pastor. And I walked into their current facility. It was a little storefront. And it looked like they had robbed the trash cans behind the Goodwill and the Salvation Army to equip the place. It was embarrassing. I mean, everything in that room was just embarrassing. It looked tacky. It was just horrible. And most of the people that went to that church were wealthy. People of means, living in condominiums and nice housing on the Gulf of Mexico, for crying out loud. And honestly, I could hear the twangs of a country song developing in my mind as I looked around this place. You hear the guitar playing and you hear the guy singing, "I'm going to give my junk to Jesus and save the best for me." And they wonder why they can't grow. They're not investing in God's kingdom. They're still investing in their 401ks, and they're investing in real estate, and they're investing in this life and waiting for politics to make it better. And it won't. Read Psalm 34 and listen to why I do this radio program, to be a watchman on the wall. I know Jim Calhoun, who helps me out, is understanding that more and more each and every day. And he's become one of the watchmen on the wall. It's an awesome responsibility. And there's a no-fail option in that work. I've got to call it. I can't hide it. The truth has got to be there. And I pray for more opportunities to share it. I'll share a little bit more tomorrow about some of the opportunity. Right now, trying to work with WTWW to clean up some audio issues. Not sure why there's a little distortion there, but it's a great opportunity and a great signal. And we're on there for a little while longer. We're kind of prepaid, but to stay there is going to need your help. We're on WRMI several times a day. And we need the multiple airings to reach as much of the nation as we can. And North America, we can't cover it all at once, at one time. And so we have to rely on propagation and frequency changes and what have you to make it work. But none of it's free. We've been doing this since 2020 because of your faithfulness. And we will continue to do it as long as you support the work. Right now, you can help us by going to our website, which is truth2ponder.com. Truth2ponder.com. I don't have a big blurb up there on the front page for support. Some people say I should. I just don't want to right now. Just look for the word support in the menu. It'll take you to a page that shows you how to use Give, Send, Go and the other ways you can support us, by making a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510. The city is Chilhowie, C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E. Chilhowie, Virginia, and the zip code 24319. That's 24319. Now the website, truth2ponder.com. truth2ponder.com. Look for the support tab or menu item. The page will show you how to give via Give, Send, Go, which is a Christian organization. And I have to admit, they've been wonderful to deal with for almost 3 years now. We do not use PayPal and some other ones. I just don't trust them. They're secularly owned. They've been known to crush conservative and Christian viewpoints, even hold their money for extended periods of time. So no, I don't want to use those. That's why we chose to use Give, Send, Go. And I highly endorse them for online giving. There's no commercial in that. I'm just saying this has been my experience. Also, when you contact me, would you consider maybe sending an email and let me know how you listen? Are you listening as a podcast? We're on a number of podcast platforms, and a handful more are in the works. And we'll tell you more about that on Friday. There's a lot in the background, and by the way, tomorrow I'm going to spend a little bit of time. I should have more of a health update and what the plans are going to be going forward, and the prayers that I need from you. But once again, just keep us in your prayers and consider giving this ministry your prayers and your financial support. Now, in the second half of the program, Jim Calhoun will come to the microphone and talk more about being a watchman on the wall.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Nothing before heaven. Coming up. Shalom Aleichem. This is the nice Jewish boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a special free gift you're going to get and love in a moment. In the Bible, in the prayer the Lord gives us, it says, on earth as it is in heaven. Now, even that contains an incredible truth, but there's something there in the original language. The original language doesn't say on earth as it is in heaven. It says, as it is in heaven, so on the earth. That's how it reads. Big difference. The point is not about getting earth to heaven. The point is about getting heaven to earth. In the original, it starts with heaven, not earth. In heaven, so on earth. So it starts with heaven. There's nothing before that. There's nothing before that. There's no problem, no issue, no concern. There's no enemies, no dangers. It just starts with heaven. Wherever heaven's at, there's no problems there. That's where it starts. That's where salvation starts. That's where Messiah came from. That's where all good things start. And that's where the answer you're looking for starts. That's where your peace begins. That's where your blessing starts. That's where your victorious life begins. The gospel starts in heaven. The Lord's prayer starts in heaven. And blessing starts in heaven in your life. So learn to start in heaven. Learn the secret. Start everything. Your day, your prayer, your solutions, your plan, your heart, dealing with a problem, your needs, your love, your future, everything. Start from heaven. Learn the secret of starting in heaven with nothing else, nothing more, no problem, no agenda, no anything. Just God. Just heaven. Because heaven is where it's at. And that's where all blessings begin. Want more? Ask for As It Is in Heaven. On CD. And now, the free gift for you, the most awesome, awesome thing. The rabbis actually wrote of signs and wonders that took place when Jesus died, and they hid it. It's in the hidden writings. You will get it revealed, now revealed, in the Mystery of the Temple Doors on CD, yours free, and sapphires to bless your socks off, make you strong in the Lord. How do you get all these free gifts? Easy. Just remember Yeshua, Jesus's real name, and you dial it. To receive your free gifts, just call now, 1-800-YESHUA-1. You will be blessed, but call now. It's 1-800-YESHUA-1. Now, my friend, you're on this earth for a great purpose, to be a blessing. So I invite you to join me in bringing the greatest blessing to the unreached peoples of this world, salvation across the world. It's amazing. You want your life to impact the world? This is the farthest way it can ever impact the world on Shortwave Radio. It's amazing. Just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's YESHUA-1. Or you can write me direct. Here's how. Just write to the nice Jewish boy at Box 1111. That's in Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey. The zip is 07644. That's the nice Jewish boy, Box 1111. That's in Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. Well, till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying, Shalom Aleichem, peace be to you, my friend, in Messiah Adon Hashamayim, the Lord of Heaven.
is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
This is Jim Calhoun filling in for Bob Bierman on this half. Well, today I decided what I wanted to do was just simply have a talk with you, because we have so many things going on, and I'm going to give you my opinions of what I think is happening and where things are going. But I want to be real frank with you and just kind of let you know my mindset on the whole situation. First of all, I like to think of myself as a realist. And so I like to look at what is. I like to look at reality. And I don't like to conjure up a whole bunch of things that are what if. Not unless it's something that pertains to something that is a real threat, and then of course you have to kind of do the what if game to make your plans. But I don't want to just sit here and speculate and just be sensational about it. I want to kind of have a rubber meets the road talk and just kind of explain things as I see things unfolding before us. First of all, I think there's an awful lot of fear peddling going on. And sometimes I feel like I'm part of that. I try not to. But sometimes the watchman on the wall, which I consider myself a watchman, sometimes the watchman has to yell, alert, danger. And so sometimes I do that, and I feel like I'm being an alarmist, but I think that's part of my job, is to sound the alarm when I see something that needs to be brought to your attention. But by and large, we have people that are selling survival food and selling bunkers and selling guns and ammunition and all sorts of survival items. It makes you wonder just what is going on with the commercialization of everything, which I'm a free market capitalist. I have nothing wrong with that. I don't think we're talking about just a mere period of time here. I don't think we're in just a downturn or a little blip as far as the importance of what's going on. I think that we're seeing things that are biblical. I think we're seeing things that are prophetic. I think we're seeing earth-changing and life-changing events happening all over the world. And I think that we need to treat things as if it is a big deal, and not just something we can make a fast buck on or try to scare someone into doing something or just whatever's happening with some of the fear-mongering. So I really think that if you decide to do your research, try to find people that are grounded. And I'm going to use Bob Bierman as an example. I was doing a lot of studying about the 5G networks. And, of course, most of my studies led me to believe that there were some things that are going to happen with the unveiling of this new technology that was going to be bad for us. And of course, Bob Bierman is an engineer, and Bob Bierman and I had a talk about it, and he explained everything to me very easy and very simple, made perfect sense. And so I didn't have any more real issues with having the new system being brought in. I knew it wasn't going to turn everyone into zombies, and everything that I was reading, there was an awful lot of fear spread about that, and there still is. And I have some very good friends that are still wrapped up in this Q and all of the disinformation. And I have several friends that when I talk to them, they tell me who's been in jail and who's been executed and how many people are in Gitmo, and almost everyone in Congress, they're either doubles or they're robots. And, you know, a lot of the things I hear from people are just silly. And so it's time to throw the silliness out. There are still people that say Donald Trump's still president, follow the plan, everything's going according to plan, and 3D chess and all the things you hear, and that's not looking at things in reality. In reality, Donald Trump is being mistreated in court. Many precedents are being set that are going to tear our nation to shreds. And I am of the opinion that the people who are in power right now know that the United States is in horrible trouble, so they're padding their pocket and doing everything they can. They're like people on the Titanic that would be stealing the silverware as everyone ran in horror out of the dining room. People saying, oh, look at all the silver, unguarded. And I would think that having your clothes or bags full of silver would not be too good as you had to plunge yourself into the water. And so we have people that are looking at things with ulterior motives. And we have people that want to, I don't know, just stir up everything. Keep everyone off balance. And I do my best to try to balance everyone and to try to get you to think. And that is where I want to head this conversation right now, is don't discount you. When things get really rough, the only person you can count on is you, period. You might have family or friends or a spouse or a son or a daughter or something. You might have someone that lives fairly close to you, but in the moment, in that moment that you need advice or you need a friend or you need help or you, anything at all, in that moment that it just comes rushing at you, whatever problem that you might face, there is that period of time, whether it be a few seconds or an hour or two, just depends on the situation, but it has to be you. And so your actions that you decide to take at that time is going to have more to do with the outcome of what's going to happen than if you wait around for someone that can assist you. And I think an awful lot of people listen to me and Bob Bierman and people like us for instruction and for encouragement. And I hope that you do get encouraged, and I do hope that we are instructive as we try to tell you what's going on. At the end of the day, when you boil everything down, everyone out here on the internet or on the radio, on video, podcasts, or broadcasts, we're all just talking heads. And while I would say the vast majority of the new media does honestly try to help, there are still a few out there that honestly don't really care. They're just kind of going through the motions. Maybe they're selling something, or maybe they have another agenda. I don't know. And personally, I've weeded all of those people out. But unfortunately, there are still some on the air or on podcasts that you really have to watch out for. But what I'm trying to get across to you is you need to train you to be that white knight, that superhero that you need in that moment of truth when the problem is just right there in your face. You need to develop a positive sense of yourself, that you do have the intelligence, you do have the ability to handle anything that comes your way. If you're one of these that you consider yourself weak, or maybe not as strong as you need to be, well, the old saying, toughen up, buttercup. You have to. What we're about to go through, in my opinion, is going to require you to have a hard edge about you that you may not find comfortable. But we have to do everything in our power to toughen up. I guess another term would be man up. You really need to become what you need to be. And you need to be all you can be. And as we prepare mentally, physically, spiritually, financially, in all ways we can prepare, I think preparing spiritually is, honestly, I think that's the biggie. But right on the heels of that is preparing yourself mentally to do what needs to be done. A perfect example is if you're going to protect your family. How are you going to protect your family? If you say, well, I have a handgun, which I think is a good idea to protect your family. I'm definitely for the Second Amendment. But if you're not willing to use the handgun, then what good is having it? I'm not telling you to go shoot anyone. I'm telling you that if you are planning ahead and you plan to defend your family, well, you have to get that mindset that you can defend your family. And you have to do it without emotion. You have to do it very thoughtful as far as defending your family. And if a situation does come your way, well, of course, the last option is to have a firearm. But if someone invades your home and they have firearms or weapons, or you know that the situation is not going to end well for you or your family, well, you have to do what you have to do. But I'm using this as an extreme example of having your headspace right. And so you have to prepare mentally for success, failure, and running out of food or having more food than you need to where you can help others. There's so many things that we're going to be faced with. But I guess I should explain what I'm meaning here is that I truly believe we've entered a new dark age. I don't know if we're in the tribulation. I really don't feel that we are, because I think that when we hit the biblical tribulation, I think everyone on earth is going to know it. I think we're going to know that, hey, we're there. I do think that we're real close to the tribulation. I think that this could lead to the tribulation. But it definitely is a new dark ages. And we have definitely a worldwide caste system that is being put in place. And people like me are definitely on the out. And these people that are quote-unquote pro-science, and there's all sorts of science. There's good science and there's bad science. And I want to remind you to all these evil people in Nazi Germany that did all these horrific experiments on the people that were in the concentration camps. They were all scientists. And so just because someone has a white coat and says he's a scientist doesn't make him a good person. And it doesn't make what they're doing healthy for mankind. And I think that these kind of people are gaining strength and they're combining their information and their skills, and they are working for an agenda. And the agenda is to get rid of you and me. That's my opinion. But I think it's really obvious that they're trying to make everybody callous to genocide, because genocide is happening right now in Israel on the Gaza Strip. And we have people that are condoning it and people that are looking the other way. That's hardening people's hearts towards humanity. And in Ohio, just passed a law making abortion a right in their state's constitution. And you have all these people that are extra happy that, yes, abortion is now in our constitution. The right to abortion. Yay, we can kill babies. How callous is that? That you are actively celebrating the fact that you can kill children. It's all callousness. There's so many things happening right now to put us in this new dark age. And I don't know how long this dark age is going to last, but I think that we've been circling the drain, so to speak, for a long time, decades for sure anyway. And I think that we have quit circling the drain. I think that we're down the drain right now, and I don't know how deep the drain is. I don't know if there's anything on the other side that's going to be good as far as mankind is concerned, that anything man can do, or if we just keep going down the drain and it leads to the great tribulation and the return of Jesus. And I've got to be honest with you, I'm ready for Jesus to come back anytime. And so I'm not scared of the tribulation. I know how ugly it's going to be. If you read the book of Genesis, it's very terrifying when you find out what the tribulation is and how evil it's going to be and how awful it's going to be and how few people are going to actually make it through that. I'm to the point in my life that I'm just ready for Jesus to come back. And that's kind of where I'm at. But I worry about a lot of the people that are out there that I don't know if they have their head in the sand on purpose. They're just trying to be willfully ignorant, or whether it's just too much for their brain to comprehend, and so they try not to think about it, and they just put it out of their mind so far that they really don't have an opinion on anything, and they don't have an idea what they're going to do if things really get bad. And if I just described you, I think you need to get rid of that mindset. You need to actively start preparing what you are going to do in a certain situation. Let's say you run out of food. What then? You run out of water. What then? You run out of toilet paper. What then? We need to think these things through. And you can't ask other people to do your thinking for you. You can't say, please tell me what to do. Because I'm going to tell you right now that you're going to get weaned from anyone that's helping you. When things really hit the fan, like I think they're going to, they're going to be so busy trying to take care of their own self and their family that it's going to be impossible for them to reach out to all the people that are going to be crying for help. And so it is your job, in my opinion, that you make yourself one of those people that is not crying for help. And if you have a good plan and you understand and your mindset is right and your prepping is right, well, then possibly you'll be in a position to help. But it's come to my attention that we have an awful lot of people that are relying on the government or a food bank or a church or other people to come to the rescue. And let's just say we have an EMP attack, which I do think we're going to have, but let's just say that it's happened. And you have mass looting all around because people are terrified and they're looting the stores. And they come to your house to loot your house and you dial 911. Well, first of all, if we have an EMP attack, you're not going to have anything to dial anyway. And there's no one going to answer because it won't be functional. That's kind of an extreme example of waiting for someone else to come to your rescue. But I'm going to tell you right now that if World War III breaks out in earnest, and I think it already has, I think if there ever is a history written about this time period, if this isn't the time for Jesus to come and mankind doesn't annihilate itself here on this earth, when the history is written about this time period, I think that they are going to put the official start of World War III sometime in our past, not in our future. Because I truly believe World War III has started. It's just all the people that are involved are being very careful and they're getting the logistics taken care of and their armies and navies and air force and all their troops and ammunition and arms and everything. They're getting it all moved and put into place. It's kind of like setting up a chessboard before you start the game of chess. That's kind of what they're doing. But make no mistake, we are on the verge of some major, major problems. And I see a fracturing that's going to happen in this earth, that it's going to be like, if the earth is like an egg, just think about dropping that egg on cement and just go splat. I think that when this does happen, I think it's going to be like that egg hitting the cement. I really see that we're going to have internal problems in a lot of countries, a lot of civil wars, a lot of power grabs. It's kind of like the cartels on the southern border. When one of the drug lords is perceived as weak, well, all the other drug lords and the other cartels come in to take that territory, and there's massive chaos and fighting. It's always that way with gangs, and right now, I think almost all the governments of the world are acting like criminal gangs. It's not good. And so, I'm not trying to paint this horrible picture of, oh, what was me or what was us. It's just, it's time to really look at yourself and put yourself in the harm's way in your mind's eye, because you are in harm's way, the way things are going. But you need to actively think about the what ifs. What if something is going wrong that you need to react to? And again, what if you run out of food? And those kind of questions need to be answered now. And there's an old saying that says, slow and steady wins the race. And so you don't have to dwell on this. You don't have to focus your life's attention on just all this bad and this evil. I think you need to live your life as best you can. But also, I don't think you need to totally turn away from all this evil and refuse to look at it. I know it's ugly to see, but if you refuse to look at it, the ugly that is there might befall you, and then you're going to be a statistic. And I really don't want that to happen to you. I want you to be able to navigate through this as best you can. I do see a time where Christians are going to be very heavily prosecuted and persecuted. As a matter of fact, it's already happening. There's definitely an us and them kind of a mentality. The Canadian Prepper calls it tribal, and I agree with him. It's very tribal. And you have the ideologies of the political parties in the United States are extremely tribal right now. And I can't believe the bloodthirstiness of both political parties when it comes to the war in Ukraine and also the Gaza Strip. But when you have countries like Yemen that shoot down our drones, our expensive drones, our big ones, and fire rockets at Israel, when you have countries that small and are perceived to be insignificant as far as world politics, when you have those kind of countries not afraid of the repercussions of attacking the United States, well, you have to know there's something there, there's a reason, and it's because there's more countries that are willing to do the same thing. And I think that what's going to happen is we're going to see a massive bunch of countries turn on the United States. I think that our dollar is going to be relegated to the ash heap of history. And our leaders are leading us over a cliff. And we, the people, are going to be left holding the bag. And one thing that's been really bothering me is that there's an awful lot of anti-American sentiment all through the world. They hate Americans. And it's really sad because Americans as a whole are good people. But our government has been so evil that we're all being lumped in. We're all just Americans, and that makes us all guilty. And they're doing a lot of things, they say, in the cause of freedom. Well, it's not in the cause of freedom, it's in the cause of their pocketbook. Well, I could go on and on and on about this, but time is short. I have to wrap this up. I want you to really look at things, what they are. I want you to really take the time to consider my words today and take a good hard look at everyone and start training yourself to be that person that is going to help you in the time of need. I think it's vital that you step up to the plate for you and your family. And I hope that this message reached the right people today. And I really appreciate you tuning in to Truth to Ponder. And if you would like to donate to Truth to Ponder, that's easy to do. Just go to the website, which is truth2ponder.com. Click on the support tab and follow instructions. Or if you want to use the U.S. mail, you can send a check or money order. You'd write the check out to Ancient Word Radio. You would mail to Truth to Ponder, P.O. Box 510, Chilhowie, C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowie, Virginia. And the zip code is 24319. So again, thanks for listening. And until next time, everyone, be brave, be strong, stay well, and never ever forget, replace fear with faith.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.